Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Oi, oi, it's the IGN UK podcast, and the firm are back. I can't remember the last time the firm did a podcast. It probably, looking back, by the way, if you don't know who the firm is, it's me, Simon, Dale Driver.
Hello.
And Joe Scrabbles.
Hello.
I can't, looking back, it probably was about 3 weeks ago, but it feels like it's been much longer. I don't know.
I think it was probably really recent, but
I don't know. So what is time anymore? Do you know what we've got to talk about this week? A whole lot of Resident Evil, because last night, big old Resident Evil stream. Odd Resident Evil stream, I thought. It's just a lot of odd stuff being announced from my point of view. And just kind of a weird stream of just the people in it. I just wasn't expecting sort of the people that showed up.
Like a Naughty Dog character artist.
Yeah.
I think any stream that includes Mark Cerny looking directly into a camera and speaking really, really slowly is always a weird stream.
You see, because obviously Phil Spencer was in it as well, and whenever he's on a video now, everyone looks at the background to see what like figures he's got, what hints to what games they're doing. Both he and Mark Cerny had the both Ludens.
Yeah, they both had
Death Stranding statue. It's like who's getting Kojima next? Because obviously there are the rumors.
Xbox are
trying to get Kojima.
I actually think that's a rumor that Kojima's not going with either of them, and this is them trying to bring them back.
He's actually going with Nintendo.
Look, if the rest of the internet will report on baseless stuff said on podcasts, we might as well try and get our own podcast out there. So I'm putting it out there. Kojima is building a console, and it's going to be called the Ludens Box, and he's putting the V's up at all the rest of them. That's what's happening.
Is that what he'd call it? Wouldn't he call it maybe something with Fox, like Fox Machine or something?
He's not allowed to use Fox anymore, although Fox Box is good. He's going back to Konami and making the Fox Box. That's what's happening.
It's interesting, because the rumours I heard from an unnamed source, whether it's called the Reedus, and it's just a 3D model of Norman Reedus's head, and his mouth is the CD like drive.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's a wide mouth.
Yeah, and I did say CD. This is the twist. We're going back to CDs, no Blu-rays anymore. We're doing standard definition gaming from Kojima Productions in the future.
Love it.
And there's a special edition that looks like the Cenobite CD, who would shoot stuff out.
That's the that's the American version. They get the Xenobite. It's like the Super Nintendo days. Anyway, should we talk about Resident Evil? Resident Evil 8 or Resident Evil Village, whatever you want to call it.
Village, because that's the title.
That is the name of it, but yeah, it's also Resident Evil 8, isn't it? It has the VII. They've done that very cleverly.
What are they going to do next time?
Like that.
How do they get the X?
The Villaggio, isn't that? No, it's the Bellagio, isn't it? I've made up a word.
I don't know.
What about, oh no, can't be.
It has to be IX. Anyway, we'll work it out at some point.
Well, it has to be IX.
Crucifix.
No, it's the III, is it? No, it's
no, it's not IX.
IX. Okay, so it's X. Resident Evil.
What the fuck is going on?
Resident Evil Village, they showed off a new trailer for. It looks just as horrible as it has every other time I've seen it.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Really?
I think
it looks like sillier than I've ever seen it.
Absolutely.
But it still looks horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be gross.
But they've never really had villains. But I say that, and as soon as I start saying that, like Salazar came to my mind immediately.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It does remind of Resident Evil 4 the most. I think it has those sort of, well, obviously the village and like the aesthetic, and just those villains do seem a little bit like campier in a way.
That's it. Yeah. There's a real level of like over the top sort of campy Hammer horroriness to it that I'm not a Resi guy. Like it's never been my thing. in particular. I always like the idea of it more than the reality of it. But this one is the one where I'm getting closest to be like, I'm actually quite excited to play this because it just looks so just all over the place. It looks wild. I have no idea what the story is. Even the more they tell me about it, the less I understand what's going to happen.
Yeah, so I am a massive Resi guy, but this is, like what Jesse says, it feels such a departure, but also familiar at the same time. I think it feels like it's going to be a great mesh of some of the ideas of 7 and 4. But then with this extra, like, campy horror element, we've seen werewolves, we've seen vampires. You've got to guess there's going to be more mythical creatures, I should say, inside this game. Like, I'm so excited to see what else they get out of it as well. Especially because they've shown a bit more of, well, we don't know. There's a character being referred to as Heisenberg. I'm guessing it's that guy with the hat. He looks like a Bloodborne character. We've seen more of him now. It seems like he's almost being presented the same. Is it Dimitrescu or Dimitrescu? Because didn't the host say Dimitrescu or something like that?
I don't know what. I would say Dimitrescu just from football knowledge.
It might be a Romanian pronunciation thing that we don't know.
She pronounced it Dimitrescu, and I was like, oh god, that's fucked everything up now. It's like Ghost of Tsushima all over
again.
I'm gonna have to relearn. Well, when you're doing VO for it, you have to like reprogram your brain how to pronounce the word.
it's one of those that I think it'll be good. From what I've seen, it'll be very good. Like, just Resi games aren't normally my cup of tea. I do prefer a third person Resi over the first person personally. That's
did you actually
like
play 7 though?
I played a bit, I played a bit at the start, and it's just not for me. I just don't enjoy horror games, which is weird because I love horror films, but horror games, I don't know, they just don't do it for me. That's not what I want to play.
That's fair enough. You probably won't be into this, to be honest.
Well, but that's the thing. Like you said, there's the sillier bits, and I do love Resident Evil 4, which I think a lot of people do. But if it's got some of those vibes, and it's one of those, like, if it comes out and it's getting rave reviews everywhere, I'll play it and I'll give it a good go. But it's one of those where I can appreciate Resident Evil 7 is great, and I've watched people play it, and I like it. And I think the first half's a lot better, but... Mm. Like, I just have no great desire to play that myself. It's only, 3 weeks away now?
Yeah, it's not far
at all. It's not long.
May 7th it comes out, so.
It's just good to have a big, like, recently we had Outriders, which is a big-ish game. Like, probably a game that has got bigger than it is because nothing else has come out, to be honest. Like, it wouldn't normally be as big as it is.
Yeah.
But,
feels like we're picking up steam again. Like, the big hitters are coming.
We've got, next month we've got Resi and Mass Effect, and I'm looking forward to definitely playing Mass Effect and, some Resi. Yeah. But
with Resident Evil, go on.
Yes.
You were going to do that
segue
as well.
This is the thing I love most about Resident Evil, which is Mercenaries mode, which is what I played at my friend's house when I was, I don't know, 15 or all the time when I like stayed at his. Like, that's what my fondest memories of any Resident Evil game are playing Resident Evil 4 Mercenaries, and like, to have that back, that did bring a little smile to my face.
It quite surprises me, actually, because I'm a huge Resident Evil fan, but Mercenaries never really, I've not been bothered with it. But I'm always surprised at how much people get excited about it. And I guess it is because of, like you said, you were that age range where when you got Resident Evil 4, that's what you played. Where for me, it was just, I just did the story over and over again. So that mode has a lot of love. I'm always surprised by it.
I think it was just good to play with friends and try and get high scores. And it was just before, you know, Call of Duty became a thing. So it was kind of like a semi-competitive shooter you could play at that time in a way. I hope it's good. I hope they just basically take what Mercenaries was and put it in this new world and people would be happy.
My only slight concern is that when I think of Resident Evil 7, I don't think of it as being like the most dynamic in terms of controls, first person controls and stuff. And I don't know if that completely lends itself to this sort of mode. Although they did say there was like boosters where you can, you know, you can speed up and all sorts of different rules come into play. So maybe that changes it. But everything I've seen of it so far, I love that viewpoint for a horror game, but I'm not sure if it works as like time trials. And I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see when it comes out. Will I buy this game just to play Mercenaries? Probably not, but we'll see. It's a nice little thing to do. Also announced, lots of announcements. I don't think we'll go through all of them, but you'll be able to play Resident Evil Village soon. There's a demo coming out, which I've kind of read over this three different times now. I still don't fully understand what this demo is. Joe, you're a newsman. Have you worked it out?
Don't ask me. I wasn't online. I didn't watch it.
I think I've got Dale, the answer.
Yeah.
I think
Dale might have the answer. Here we go. There's a demo soon. So take it away, Dale.
I believe this weekend it's only on PlayStation consoles and it's 2 30-minute segments. One is the village and one is the castle. You get to play one on one day, which is, I think, in the UK on the Sunday, and then the other on the Monday or maybe a few days later. Then in May, I believe the same demos come out, but it's as one collection, and that's on everything. That's on Stadia, it's on Xbox and stuff. And also, oh, I forgot to mention with the first lot, it's on an 8-hour timer, and that's not, you can play it for 8 hours. You can only play it in that window.
During that 8 hours.
During that 8 hours. And, and it's 30-minute timed, whereas the second one is a 24-hour window. It's all very messy, basically.
Yeah, it strikes
that's
me.
That's a weird way of doing it.
It's a deeply irritating way of demoing your game. And frankly, after so many good demos from Resi in the last few years, I am surprised at how shit this sounds.
I'm surprised they even felt the need to release this. They already did like the demo a few weeks ago, and that went down well. And it's just so you say you're on a 30-minute timer, like, are you playing the full game and you can get as far as you can in that 30 minutes in that section?
Who knows? So they did do this for Resident Evil 2 Remake. It was on a timer, I believe. Like, it was only available to play during a certain window. But I believe you could reset it or something. Or maybe people were just changing their clocks back or something. There was a way of resetting it in some way. They did something like this. To be honest, I was much more of a fan of the way Resident Evil 7 demo worked, which was just release a demo and then just update the demo and keep updating the demo and add a new stuff to it and new mysteries. I thought that was like super cool.
The fact that it was a mystery was always a cool thing with that. You know, like I remember us being in the office during that time, and every time we thought it got updated, you'd be going in looking for whatever it was, new mannequin fingers or whatever the thing.
There's the thumb,
Like, it's just, it was just a really smart way to do it. And then to go all the way to the other side and be like, yeah, you can play what the game will be. And I get why they're doing this, because the Maiden demo isn't particularly, it's not the game. It's a, it's a tonal teaser, right? Whereas you want to give people an idea of like the action oriented game or whatever, but just don't do it with the 8-hour window thing. Like, it's just
splitting it in two as well, and like, just, I don't know. Enjoy it, but you know, it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think we can all agree it's odd. I wasn't expecting this at all. Resident Evil 4 VR announced.
Little Jesse Gomez losing his goddamn mind.
Yeah,
it's for Oculus Quest 2 only at the moment. I think they've said pretty much forever. Is it exclusive? From what I read, it's not coming. Well, it's not coming to anything else anytime soon, at least. Is it if they confirmed, is it the full Resident Evil 4 VR?
From what I can tell, it's implied that that's the case. There's some things in that game I'm like, that feels like it'd be mental in VR. But I guess they've got ways to do it, I suppose. I don't really play VR. I'm not massive in VR games, but because it's Resident Evil 4, one of my favorite games, I definitely think I'm going to try and check out. Getting a Quest 2 is going to be a challenge in itself, I think.
I would have thought they would have tried doing it in first person before they put it straight to VR, but there we go. You know, straight the job.
The best bit about it, though, is the VR attaché case organization. Surely that's like Tetris Effect 2, mate.
That does look nice. So, how about, isn't there the bit in the lake where you get eaten up? That's going to be horrible.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of giant monsters. Well, there's they call it the Gigantor or Giganti or something like that, which is huge. Imagine that in VR. It's terrifying.
Imagine little like Salazar. Can you punch little Salazar in the face?
I'm on the head. But if you think about what he becomes as well, like spoilers for Resident Evil 4, but like he becomes an absolute giant blob monster. That is going to be horrible looking at that in VR.
That game is deeply stressful. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to play in VR. Like the village section at the start is going to be awful. Like
just in that little room spinning around.
Well, that's the thing.
Spatial audio with the fucking chainsaw man coming in. Oh my god.
There's a lot of traversal in that section as well. A lot of going up and down ladders, jumping off roofs. Like, how's that work? I'm curious how it's going to be translated.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people liked the Resi 7 VR, even though it was like a very make you sick experience. So maybe they are just going like, we'll cut our losses. You know, if some people don't like it, they don't like it, but we're making the whole game this way.
Well, I think in 5 days at the Oculus showcase, we'll find out a lot more about that.
Yes, indeed.
I've got a question. I wonder what you guys
think.
Go on. So obviously there's been a rumoured Resident Evil 4 remake in the vein of 2 and 3 for a while. This is not it, right? This is something extra. Nah. Yeah,
those rumours which surely come not. From... Those rumours do come from quite good sources. I think they stemmed from VGC. And those ones seem to revolve around the idea of, like, there was a full remake further along in development, and then Capcom did not like it enough and have rebooted development on it.
Okay.
But the rebooting reason is quite odd. I think I'm going to get this wrong, but if I'm right in remembering, the reboot apparently is because they were making the game too faithfully to the original.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because surely that's what people want, but does that mean it was just too clunky? Because I recently tried to play the original. It was on Switch, to be fair, so it's not the best place to probably play Resident Evil 4. But it did strike me how not easy it is to play anymore. Like, just the aiming is like...
You can't move and shoot, can you?
Either. Exactly. Yeah. That took me aback quite a bit. So maybe they were keeping stuff like that and they were like, no, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, I see that.
They also, with 2 and especially with 3, they did, like, they took the essence of the story, but they did drastically alter it as well. So maybe they're looking for that approach. Like, we want you to do your own version of this story instead of just beat for beat.
Maybe this is my memory just being hazy, but 4 is quite a bit longer than 2 and 3, isn't it?
It's a big game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Look, I will play that when it comes out. I say that now, who knows? But yeah, it's interesting they went for 4 in VR and not... Because there's no sign of Village being in VR, is there, despite 7 being a VR game? And this one's first person as well, so...
Can you imagine Lady Dimitrescu didn't...
That's exactly what I was going to say. People would lose their minds.
Modders would have an absolute field day with that. They're going to anyway, but imagine...
Yeah, it's going to be grim. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. there were a couple other things announced. They weren't really... are you interested in the Resident Evil Infinite Darkness coming to Netflix, which is an animated movie about zombie outbreak at the White House?
I think I'll watch it because it's Resident Evil, but I'm not interested. I've seen a few of the animated films, and there's only 2 of them, actually, I think. They didn't really do much for me, to be honest.
What about the new live-action one?
That I'm interested in, even though I do not like the previous film series at all. Even though I'd always end up watching them, and then halfway through think, why am I... This is just absolutely terrible, and turning it off halfway through. That's,
a little bit of hope is building, though, for video game films. Like, Sonic came out, wasn't bad. Mortal Kombat, I think the initial reactions came out this week, and people were fairly positive.
So, it's wicked,
You know, maybe the tide is turning. A good Resident Evil film might be on the way down.
Hopefully.
If not, we'll make it.
Got alarm.
Another thing that happened this week is the director? One of the lead developers on Dragon Age 2, wasn't it? I've lost my
He's a narrative designer. He's like a writer.
Yes, narrative design, lead writer even on Dragon Age 2. Basically said, he tweeted. What's the best way to say this? He tweeted, if you could change Dragon Age 2, like in a Snack Snyder even style, which is go back and change the game. We all know we're not going to talk about the actual Snyder cut. Don't worry, we're not going down there again. We're talking about games still. He basically gave a lot of reasons. And I haven't played Dragon Age 2, so a lot of the reasons he was saying he would and things he would change didn't mean a lot to me. But it was interesting. It got a lot of people thinking about what games would they like to see get the in quotation marks Snyder cut job done to them, which is, you know, they're in development and they didn't quite turn out how they were rumoured to, or things were cut out, or, you know, the things that were promised. Not necessarily things that are promised never came to fruition, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about more... It's a hard one to explain.
I do think it's a little bit that. For me, it's something that was teased, or an element of a version of something that was teased that never came to fruition.
Yeah.
Which what we got was a different version.
Yeah,
it's just like, looking, like you could have essentially a director's cut, you know, a Zack Snyder cut.
Exactly. Sometimes, like, after the fact, you hear, oh, right, this was the original plan of what this game was going to be, and it's a shame we never got it. And they can still be good, like, very good games, but, you know, they could have been amazing. I think we've got 1 or 2 examples each. I don't know who wants to go first.
I'll go first, just because it leads on from the previous section, which is Resident Evil. and I want to preface... So there's 2 of them, actually, and I want to preface that both of the actual games that came out, I truly believe, would have been always been the superior version. But I think it's more as a fan and a curiosity aspect, I would love to see the other versions. And there was, so there was Resident Evil 1.5, which was the original version of what 2 was going to be. And that one was, so they had a different, they didn't have Claire Redfield. They had a different female character called Elsa Walker. Most of the idea of the story was the same, but the police station, its whole aesthetic was like way more modern and less like this sort of old architecture, like an old museum architecture. And apparently they got to like 90% finished and decided to scrap the thing and just start again with that one.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's the one where it was developed by Hideki Kamiya that became Devil May Cry, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that was the seed for it, at least at some point.
Which is wild.
Yeah, actually, no, maybe that's not the same thing, but I definitely remember hearing about the Devil May Cry thing, which they came up with an idea for Resident Evil, and then they morphed it into Devil May Cry.
Yeah, because Kamiya was making is it the other way around? No, it's that way around. Kamiya was making Resi 2, it fell apart, and then he went on to make Devil May Cry with a bunch of the ideas that came out for that thing, which is like nuts.
The mad thing is fans have kind of like rebuilt a lot of that game. Like, there was a lot out there, and you can kind of watch almost like a full playthrough on YouTube of it, of what maybe some fans have like filled the blanks a little bit. It's clear to see that the actual version that came out was superior. But I would always love, as a fan and a purist fan, I would love to go back and play it. And the other one was a few years later, which is Resident Evil 3.5, which was what was going to be 4. And that one is, apart from having Leon Kennedy, completely different. It was all about ghosts and a proper haunted house. It wasn't over the shoulder cam. Well, elements were. It was the fixed viewpoints of traditional Resident Evil mixed with over the shoulder. It was quite bizarre, actually. Like, when you'd be walking around, if you started targeting, it would just zip round to the shoulder. So it's quite odd. And that's another one, I think, because I would love to see Resident Evil dealing with the idea of ghosts. They kind of teased it in the Resident Evil 7 demo, actually. There was elements of ghosts in that, and it turned out to like be a red herring. So yeah, I would love to see that. You never know, that might be in Village. Yeah, who knows?
Is that the one where they had the dude with the big hook, and then that became a thing in Evil Within as like a pointed reference to the game Mikami never got to make?
Yeah, so it's actually like nicknamed Hookman, and they released three demos, and all of them showed different environments. And I believe there's like people like, you know, trying to sort of build a version of that as well. Like, Resident Evil fans are very passionate about like, you know, rebuilding these things. So it's quite enjoyable to see. But I would love to see a version of that realized.
Mm-hmm. It's still really funny that there's a game called Evil Within that's basically just Resident Evil.
Like, I didn't like Evil Within, though. I never got on with it.
No, it's just, you never really think about the fact that that name is basically a joke. Like, it's such a strange decision.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's good.
I've got a couple of different ones, a couple of different series. One of them is, and again, like we said, these are sometimes games we absolutely love, and one of mine is Portal 2, which is, I think, an incredible game. I think a lot of people would agree. One of the best games ever made. Until It Takes Two came out, maybe the best co-op game ever made.
But, oh, shit.
You know, that's a bold statement.
Oh, it is bold, isn't it? But I'm being bold. but yeah, there was always rumours, and I only found out about this recently, actually, that there are rumours that when Valve were making Portal 2, the idea between the Portal games was that there were always going to be a different mechanic introduced each time. So the portal gun was never going to be in Portal 2. It was going to be a device called the F-stop, which was basically a Polaroid camera, which you would take pictures, like the puzzles would be, you take a picture of an object with the Polaroid, and then you could reproduce that object anywhere in the space that you wanted to solve problems. And it's kind of a little bit like games like Superliminal recently have played with that a little bit. But yeah, there were rumours that they were going to... Eventually, they just went, no, let's just make a direct Portal 2, which wasn't a bad move by any means. I think a lot of people would agree. But I just like that idea of we could have got a lot more different puzzle games from Valve out of that, and they could have carried on like, I want to know what F-stop is.
Like, I guess
maybe they just ran out of puzzle ideas.
Yeah, the goop stuff in Portal 2 feels like, you know, a version of that where they're like, well, here's a different, you know...
Yeah.
Here's a different item entirely that you can play with. I don't know if it was called Goop.
Maybe in Portal 3, mate. They're definitely making that, so.
Oh, I would love a Portal 3. Like, come on.
Come on, you guys.
gave everyone the Half-Life Alyx. You know, give people the pool.
Yeah, and
he
took them like 15 years or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, it's been like, what, 10, 11 since Portal 2, hasn't it? Yeah, it's been 10 time. Years, I think, this week, actually. Happy birthday, Portal 2. I do have another one, but do we want to take time? I don't know if anyone else has more than one.
I've got some little, because I did some, I just went looking around to see if I could remind myself of things. I've got like a little miniature list of mad bullshit that never made it into things. Oh, the main one being,
go on.
In the original, I didn't know this before today, in the original version of Mario Bros, there was documentation released that showed that at one point, Mario rode around on a little rocket and had a laser gun.
Ooh,
which,
wow.
Like, that's just a completely different game. Like, at
was
some
he a
point,
plumber still?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. But, like, at that point, Mario's a dude with a gun. Like, it's a shooter. and the whole of history would have changed.
I quite like that. It sounds like a Balan Wonderworld ability. I don't know how many people have watched a lot of Balan Wonderworld, but my God, I can't believe that game exists.
Jesus Christ.
A full price... $60, £50.
Oh yeah, won't be for long.
The original Zelda was a cyberpunk game. That was one. Link.
What?
Link.
Sorry, give me to explain that.
Link was a name that was meant to evoke like computer stuff.
Well, like in Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah, basically. And they were like cool little cyberpunky people. And then Miyamoto was like, probably not. So they got rid of that. But there's pictures of like what. I think there are pictures out there of what Link looked like in concept art and stuff. And another one I found out today that I'd never seen before is that in the original Half-Life, there was an enemy called Mr. Friendly, who was a big, like, headless pig that would eat bodies that got left around and jump on you and eat you. It looks absolutely grotesque.
If he doesn't have a head, how does he eat you?
Well, I think he's just got a big hole in the front of his body. It looks... horrible. There's a screenshot of Mr. Friendly, and I don't like it.
Is this why we don't get many Valve games? Because they are just constantly making these ideas like Polaroid cameras, big pigs. They're just like trying all these things out and just going, nah, none of this is working, is it?
Fucking it off. Yeah, just like, get rid.
You've got to throw a lot of shit at the wall, mate. Only some of it will stick.
And also one thing, I went looking, because this is more, this is less something, a Snyder Cut that I'd like to see, but at the time, my brother got obsessed. What are you laughing at?
I just googled the Mr. Friendly Half-Life.
Oh, it's disgusting, isn't it?
But then the first thing I was, oh, I don't even want to read it.
Uh-oh.
I've got to say it now, right? But somebody has made an image on the internet that says Half-Life Rape Alien. Just a picture of this alien. I was like, bloody hell.
That's not nice at all. That's why it wasn't made.
He is disgusting. My brother got obsessed with Fable 2 when it was in development, because obviously you had the Molyneux effect of promising quite a lot of things. And I just remember how unbelievably furious my brother was when Fable 2 came out and wasn't the game he wanted. But I looked it up and I was like, actually, there's not that much here that sounds amazing to me. But the one thing I saw, and this is the opposite of something I want to see in a game. This is like one of the worst ideas I've ever heard, and I'm so glad they got rid of it. At one point, if you were playing a female character in Fable, they wanted you to be able to get pregnant and like actually be increasingly pregnant. So the idea is you're like a fantasy adventurer going around like 6 months pregnant. I was like, how do you think this is going to work? Like, this sounds horrible.
What's the end goal of this? What, you just have a baby and you leave it and carry on?
Well, you could have a baby in Fable 2, but it was just, like, it just appeared in your house. Like, it was just like a cradle would appear. But the idea that you're, like, a pregnant woman being attacked with weapons, it just sounds, absolutely grotesque.
Ideal, is it?
What the fun part of the gameplay is about that idea.
I don't know. So, yeah, delighted they got rid of that, because it sounds like it would have just been awful.
Bizarre. But my other one is kind of twofold. I've got a double Bioshock hit. I think the more popular and well-known one is that there were always the rumours that Bioshock Infinite was going to be open world, and that's what the whole hook was basically made for, was to traverse around that world more freely. I would still love an open world Bioshock, and there are, I think this week we again got rumors that the next Bioshock might be actually open world.
They're looking for people with experience in open world design, which doesn't mean the same thing as it's an open world game.
Yeah,
but we can hope. I just would play more Bioshock because I love them. But yeah, the one I didn't know much about was Bioshock 2, which was the idea, which I think is one that works well. Like, I don't think Bioshock 2 is a bad game by any means, but it's not as good as 1 and 3. But the big sisters in those games, the original idea of those was that basically there would be a big sister villain, which basically was Mr. X from Resident Evil, that would follow you around the whole game. Yeah. You could never kill it. You'd constantly be like knocking it back and running away. Like, that sounds like a cool idea, and that would have worked really well in that world, I think. It's just kind of a shame they got rid of that, I think. I would like to see how that would have worked. But yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I'm not, you know... I don't actually want people to go back and remake these games.
No. I've got two kind of connected ones, which are just games that were intended to be much bigger than they were, which is Alan Wake being designed as an open world game, which when you get to the end of that game, you can feel it because there are these long sections where you have to fucking drive everywhere.
Yeah.
But the thing I read about this that I didn't know, because I knew it'd been designed like that, and I knew that they planned like a day-night cycle to play on the explore Bright Falls and then have fights against shadow people in the nighttime. The thing I'd never heard of before is that at one point there was apparently you'd control a tornado, which I don't know what that's for. I don't know what you'd do with it, but I love the idea of like just being Alan Wake and then going, and now I'm a tornado. See you later.
Maybe it's a tornado filled with like street lights, so you're using it as the light to like guide a path or something. I don't know. That's my idea. I don't work at Remedy, which is probably for the best.
It's probably a gun in Just Cause where you can control a tornado, isn't there? Or send a tornado out.
But the last game had massive like natural disasters. I think the massive tornado.
Yeah, I'm putting the wind gun together in my mind. I think.
Yeah, I don't think you could control it, but you could send it out, which was weird. And the other one, obviously, I've got to talk about Dragon's Dogma, the best RPG ever made. Which was twice as big when they planned it, and they just kept cutting it back because there was. No one believed in, like, apparently at the time when it was being made, because the idea was Capcom, or Itsuno at Capcom, wanted to make an open world game that felt like a Western RPG, but using Capcom's, like, action smarts. Apparently at the time, according to him, most of the people at Capcom didn't even fucking know what Elder Scrolls Oblivion was, despite it being, like, a huge, huge game. And so they kept being like, this is stupid, like, we're taking your budget away. To the point where you had to keep cutting it down. At one point, that game was going to end with you going to the moon. And I'm so angry that there isn't an open world game where I get to go to the moon just as part of the game. That's not fair.
Oh, what about Super Mario Odyssey?
Well,
that's not quite
its own thing. But that is now exact. I'm basically hoping that's what Pragmata is. Like, whatever the fuck Pragmata turns out to be, I want it to be an open world game where the moon is a bit of it. That would
moon
be great.
Moon level.
Let's get that. That's what Joe wants. Give it to him.
Give me the moon.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, along those lines, there was more when I was originally thinking this, like, games I'd like, if they went back and, like, kind of added elements from other games to make them better. Like, the example I have is if, like, this progression systems and, like, quest design from Assassin's Creed Valhalla was implemented back into Origins and Odyssey, I'd go back and 100% those games just because the progression and the leveling up and the like level like gatekeeping of missions basically is what stopped me playing that game, and Valhalla does a great job at keeping you moving. So if they could just go back to those games and just, you know, basically get rid of the leveling system, then I'd be happy.
I have something like that almost exactly the same actually, is with a wish. If it had all been nice and rosy and the relationships had stayed good, that we could have had Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 remade in like the Phantom Pain's engine. I think I would love to see those stories, right? Which is part of the grand story, like realized with like modern technology and modern engines. Because the Phantom Pain, like, although it's light on story, its actual mechanics, I think, are phenomenal. Like,
yeah. Or they could just go back and finish the Phantom Pain.
Probably not.
One as well.
That's it. Lovely. I don't think we've ever known enough about what the actual idea was for Phantom Pain. Maybe we have. But either way, yeah, that would be a good one because I'd like to finish that game one day.
That would be
just
nice.
Gave up.
Good chat about games. Before we get to the Endless Search, I just want to recommend a film that everyone should watch. I think called. Ooh. You might have already watched it. It's been out a while in the US. I think it only came to, you can rent it in the UK at the moment, the last few weeks, I think, is Judas and the Black Messiah, which is an incredible film that stars Daniel Kaluuya, who's probably going to win the Oscar. He's won every award going so far for it, as Fred Hampton, who was like a young, like, party chairman of the Black Panthers, decades ago in the US. And it's basically about him and Lakeith Stanfield, who's also incredible in this film. And the whole setup is, I'm not spoiling anything, this happens in the first few minutes of the film. The whole idea of the film is Lakeith Stanfield is basically a criminal who is hired by the FBI to infiltrate the Black Panthers and get information about Fred Hampton. So it's kind of almost, if you've seen Black Klansman, yeah, it's kind of almost the opposite of that in a way. It's a weird, they're a good like double bill to watch. Like, what I will say is Black Klansman is, I love both of these films. Black Klansman is much lighter, like it's occasionally hilarious, whereas Judas and the Black Messiah is very straight. Like, it is a drama and it is about heavy stuff. So don't go into this film expecting a laugh, but it's the best film I've seen this year. I want it. Like, it's almost the Oscars. I'd love for it to win. I don't think it's going to, because it looks like Nomadland has that all tied up. But, yeah, those two main performances, plus you've got Jesse Plemons as well, who's always so good to see.
I mean, I was interested.
I love him
before,
when he's being a bit more sinister as well.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But yeah, I would recommend that film to anyone, so please watch it.
Has Stanfield been in a bad film yet?
Have you watched Sorry to Bother You? I haven't seen that yet.
I have. It's really properly bizarre in a way that I'm not bizarre. Sure. I don't think I loved it, but it's certainly not a bad
film. It's definitely not bad. Get Out's obviously great. Mm-hmm. Short Term 12 is very good. I think that's the first time I've seen him. Atlanta is obviously brilliant, not a film.
He's got this wild career. He's so good.
I love it. And I think you could say pretty much the same for Daniel Kaluuya as well. And both of those together is amazing.
He's in The Girl in the Spider's Web. So,
He
was in Knives Out as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's in Uncut Gems as well.
He's a weird part in Knives Out, because like everyone in that film is so over the top. And then Lakeith Stanfield, as far as I can tell, one of the strangest people in Hollywood, plays this totally normal policeman.
Especially right next to Daniel Craig being mental in that film as well.
I always forget he plays Snoop Dogg in Straight Outta Compton as well.
Which
is delightful.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's a very good actor.
But
sadly, Daniel Kaluuya is going to win the award and not him. Well, not sadly, because they're both brilliant.
Just to cut in on recommendations, if anyone loved the bit where I talked about the art forgery documentary last week, the algorithm served me a new Netflix series or miniseries called This Is a Robbery, which is about the world's largest ever art heist. I'm only 2 episodes out of 4 into it so far, but it's one of those documentaries where you watch it and you're like, how have I never heard this story before? Like, it is bonkers. Someone just walked into this weird museum in Boston and stole $200 million worth of paintings by cutting them out of the frames.
It's just wild.
I meant to watch that the art forgery thing you recommended last week. And I actually think I accidentally found this one because it was a 4-part series. I might have accidentally started watching this one instead. So
they're both good.
It's good to know. Yeah. I'll go for the other one first.
If you're into your generalised art crime situation, Netflix is pretty great at the moment in the UK. I'm loving it. art crime's great.
some would say they're a scream. Because Scream has been stolen quite a few times. It's basically one of the more famous art robberies, the Scream.
Not having it.
Should we do the endless search?
Yes. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. And the ones and twos, we got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. And the ones and twos, we got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
No one appreciates a joke around here. It's good to know. Maybe they'll appreciate a game which was played no less than a week ago. I am bringing to you my round of How Long Did I Last? Yeah. And we're still talking about video games.
I really don't like that name.
it's what it's called, Joe. You have to deal with
it.
If you didn't listen to last week, then this game is quite simple. It is based on basically, I've got seven games here that I have played on PS4 or PS5 that have been tracked by my PlayStation 5 via the magic of data surveillance. And basically, Joe and Dale have to guess how many hours I've played in this game. Whoever is closest gets a point. And you know what? Because there's such a vast just number you could pick here, I'm going to say it's 3 points if you're bang on. Not mm-hmm. two, 3 points if you're bang on.
Before we start, I just want to point out that Matt, who invented this game, did tweet me last week with an alternative title. So you might you might prefer this, Joe. His alternative title was Guess My Length.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah.
I'm going to stick with how long did I last?
Let's just call it for example. Let's just call it Games That Made Me Come or something, all right? Just get like... Let's just put all our cards on the table.
Where does that come from, Joe? No one's thinking that. That is disgusting. I was going to suggest Game Time, but there you go.
Game Time. You know what? I prefer Guess My Length to Game Time.
Oh, God. You're not getting that on Beyond MVC or Unlocked or GameScoop, but you do get it here. Is that good? I don't know. I think it is. For example, I surprise myself with some of these times. Just for example, you never know how long you've played a game. I put 84 hours into MLB The Show 16.
Oh my word.
What? I've never heard you talk about that series at any point.
Really? I used to enjoy, like MLB 15, 16, 17, I played quite a bit. It would have been just before I joined, though, right. So I'd never bang on about it, but... Good relaxing games. I've also put something like 70 hours into Don Bradman Cricket.
Of course,
that makes more sense.
That seems low.
It's not good. It's pathetic. It's so bad. Right. Anyway, let's play the actual game.
Okay.
And I think this is where it kicks off because last week there were rumours that I have an obscene amount of time into Overwatch, which may or may not be true. Boys.
Yeah.
How many hours have I spent playing Overwatch, the video game?
Oh, God.
The okay. Blizzard hero shooter.
I've got
quite possibly the most fun game of all time.
I know it's big, but it's how big is the question.
Well, the question is how long is
sorry,
it?
Sorry, how long was your length?
Did I last?
Not yet, sorry.
And to be fair, it's not even did I last, this is am I lasting? I'm still going here. This has not ended.
It's tantric.
Yes.
It's like Sting.
How many hours? I'm going to start with Dale.
Okay. So I've got, can you see that? 1360.
You have to say it. 1,360 from Dale. What has Joe gone for?
Bang on, 1,200.
Ooh.
I'm ashamed to admit it is in fact 1,634.
Oh, good me.
That is how, like, I may remind people, this is how long the game has actually been on. You know, it's not necessarily how long I've been actively in a game. But yeah, it's still too much, isn't it?
That's more than 66 days!
Look, I have a lot of people I enjoy playing this game with, and a lot of spare time.
oh my word.
Did only start playing it 3.5 years ago. Imagine. So 66 out of my last roughly 1,000 days have been playing this game.
That's fucking nuts. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. It's good fun though, isn't it?
Anyway, it's great fun, but just do anything else.
Well, saying that, Joe, you've played 651.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about right. Dale, you've played 286, so still a healthy amount.
Decent numbers, yeah. But we were playing it at work a lot.
I will remind you, a healthy amount, not an unhealthy amount.
You've played an unhealthy amount. That's horrible.
I think, though, like, I went into the in-game stats in Overwatch as well. My actual like in-game time is only like 790, so I've only actually been playing the game for like 700.
That's so much worse that you spend that long on menus and loading screens.
I know,
just staring
and just
into the
probably,
void.
Yeah.
That's like 30 days of your life just looking at menu screens,
waiting. At skins, buying skins.
All it's taken is for me 1 or 2 days to accidentally leave it running for like 12 hours. That's all it takes.
It's and never, it boosts it quite happened. A bit.
Anyway, it's far too much. That's only one, though, so that's 1-0 to Dale. Yeah. But surprisingly, not if you got bang on that, it would have been weird. Mm. Anyway, my next one is, we previously mentioned it, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Ooh, how okay. long did I last playing Ooh. That game?
I know roughly how long I lasted. But what, so is, your length? What is your length?
Just stop saying it.
No, I will never stop. It's catching on. Okay, I've got an answer.
It's Joe first this time.
I think I'm
You've both...
What?
What I will say to you now, you've both got your answers written down, right?
Yeah.
I did get about halfway through this game.
Okay.
So there we go. I never even made it to Africa, I believe.
I think I've gone wildly over then.
Yeah,
but
same.
There we go.
I've gone for 61.
Ooh. Oh my God. I've gone for 60.
Oh, bollocks.
Well, yeah, that does mean Dale has edged it, because it's 33 hours I spend playing that game, which is still long enough for me to realise I'm having a good time. I'm not having a brilliant time, but that's just me. So that's 2-0 to Dale. Joe, you played 74 hours. You played 147.
Oh, that's way more than I thought. I thought it was like 95 or something. I know I did pretty much everything in that game. Like, and that is there's a lot to that game.
I played for 74 hours.
That's what it says.
Jesus. Yes. Grow up.
Mm-hmm. Right, 2-0 to Dale. Game number 3. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Ah, okay. I feel this like you've done this twice as well.
Does this include... Yeah, so it will include online time as well, presumably.
It will. I'll give you a clue. That the online time is negligible. Okay. It will be Dale first.
Right.
Okay.
I've got 150.
So around 150.
I've gone for 191.
It's only 125.
Wow.
I have played it through twice, which did surprise me. I thought it would be more than that. But there you go. 3-0 to Dale. Is there a big comeback on the cards? One bang on gets you right back in it. Dale, you've played it for 131. And Joe, you played it for 94. So
That's less than I thought.
Played that game. There we go. Another one here that might be hard to get. The combined time, so bear in mind, this is my time for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and this includes Warzone time.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the same install. So time did I spend playing the campaign multiplayer of Modern Warfare, the one that came out 2 years ago, and Warzone.
Okay.
That's massive.
Okay. Now, this game has been out, what, year and a half, almost exactly? Warzone is a year old.
Have you ever added up all these hours together?
No, I don't want to.
So how are you squeezing it all in? Nocturnal, aren't you?
Just getting to be fair, this year there's not been a lot else to do.
It's very true.
I'm really shooting in the dark on this one, but I don't know.
It's Joe first.
I've gone for 305.
Oof.
Dale. I've gone for 330.
Dale again edges it.
I'm really bad at this game.
I'm just unpredictable. That's what it is. You just never know how long I'll last. It's 466.
As I wrote the 3, I was like, I should have wrote a 4, but it stuck.
Joe, you've got 177, which is still quite a bit.
Yep.
Dale, you've got absolutely none.
Yep.
I thought you would have played the campaign at least.
No, I'm just not really into Call of Duty, to be honest. Every time I try to dip my toe in, I don't last very long. I'm like, we're going down this road again.
There we go.
I didn't last long. Yeah, Call of Duty is not for me, that's all.
That means it is 4-0 to Dale. It means, Joe, you need a bang on here somewhere, which, you know, isn't impossible.
Wait, how many points do you get for a bang on?
3.
Ooh, okay.
So, 3 to play. 4-0 to Dale. Mm-hmm. Needs a bang on. Okay, next up we have The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Okay.
Mm.
A I'm wondering if you played the DLC or not. You don't have to answer. I'm just wondering. Well, I know my answer is zero for this, by the way.
It is zero, which yeah. I was surprised. I thought you... Because you normally play every big game.
I think that was before I worked in the industry, and I'm not a massive high fantasy person, really. Like, I took a long time to play Skyrim.
I think you'd... Maybe when they release the PS5 version later this year, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Cyberpunk, so there's no reason I shouldn't give it a
this
shot.
This is right much now. Better than Cyberpunk, let me tell you.
Yes.
Bold.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I've got an answer.
Me too.
Got an answer. It's Joe. Dale first.
180.
180. I've gone for 101.
Oh my god, it's 101.
Oh, yes! What the fuck?
Come on!
He's done
how
it.
How have you done that?
It was tingling. I was like, he's not going to have left it at 100. He's going to squeeze out the extra one.
That is insane.
I am delighted with that.
4-3 with two to play.
Oh, my
word. Dale was relaxed. He's not anymore.
Imagine if he comes back. What a comeback that'd be.
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again.
I've played 101. Dale, you've played nothing.
Yeah.
Joe, do you know how long you played this game for?
Probably ages.
317 hours.
Yeah, baby. I absolutely rinsed the entire game and then played both DLC bits to completion because mm-hmm. it's the best DLC ever made.
I was going to go back to do that DLC. I'm now just going to wait for that PS5. It's confirmed now, isn't it? The PS5
yeah.
Series X version is coming.
Second half of this yeah. year.
Cool.
Very excited.
Supposedly.
supposedly. Good shout. I just had a thought. I was like, what do I feel like now that I've got that triple thing? Have you ever seen that clip of the man who gets a strike in bowling and goes absolutely mad and starts shouting, "Who do you think you are? I am." That's how I felt, like incomprehensibly happy with what I just did.
The only way that could have been better if it was like the final one of the whole game.
I know.
But still,
I'm fine with it.
You still got time
to play for, mate.
4-3, 2 to play. If somehow, actually no, it's impossible for it to be a tie now, so ignore me. Right. Ghost of Tsushima. Mm.
I think I know how many hours I put in, ish.
There's a caveat here that I'll let you think about yourself.
Oh, yeah, don't
multiplayer.
Bollocks! I was thinking...
Well, we were both thinking it, so it didn't matter.
Well, I thought you hadn't thought about it, and then did.
okay.
Joe to go.
Okay. This might be wild, but I've gone for 217.
Whoa.
Yeah. I couldn't. Yeah, you've all put all this good work to waste, mate.
Well, it's because you played so much Legends. I remember you playing it like every night for
not
a while.
That much.
It felt like you played it a lot.
30 hours of it, like that
for like 3 weeks. I maybe did.
I've got 99.
Imagine if Dale had just gone 500.
It's 82, which is still a decent amount.
You've not put a shift in there. You pretend to be a fan of that game, and you're not.
Do I?
I don't know.
Well, it's probably spent like 30 hours in the single player and like 50 in Legends. I don't know. There we go.
That single player felt so much longer to me.
Yeah.
That might say something about Legends, what I thought about it.
The like Legends raid was one of the toughest, but also one of the best things I played last year.
So why didn't you play it for
that to
upwards of 200 hours then?
Because once was enough, because it took like 7 hours over 3 days.
Oh my
it
god.
Horrible. But I really loved it. That means it is 5-3 to Dale. So Joe, you need another bang on. He's done it. He's got previous. Can he do it once more?
100%.
The game is, and we're all waiting for this one, Marvel's Avengers. Oh. How long...
I don't know how you could possibly fit in a massive amount of hours in this. You're busy with everything else, aren't you?
Nah, last few months.
okay. Right.
It's Joe to go first.
might be a wild.
And if he gets it bang on, I'll have to. Oh no, just a minute. No, it isn't. I lied completely. It's Dale to go first. Sorry.
Okay. 150.
I've gone for 180.
Just so you could say it. Yeah. Dale, you have won that point, but only by two. It's 163.
Oh, nice. Split the difference.
So split, yeah, there you go. I mean, so it's a 6-3 victory to Dale. But really,
but who's going to be remembered?
Going to remember in that?
Who's going to be remembered? It's like no one's going to remember that North London derby from a few weeks ago, but they will remember Lamella's Rabona goal from it. Ooh, and
I do remember that goal.
Yeah. And then when he slapped someone in the face and got Dale, you played 15 hours of Avengers. I'm guessing you did the campaign and stuff.
I didn't finish the campaign.
Well, there you go.
I got so section through it and I got bored.
Joe, how much did you think you actually played at Avengers?
I'd guess like 80 hours.
Oh, you played 47.
Oh, much less than I thought.
A decent amount still. But there we go. I've played it too much, let's face it. 163 hours of that game is too much. I just got my Outriders Platinum at lunchtime, I thought everyone would like to know. That only took like about 40 hours, I think, so I'm happy with that. A 40-hour Platinum in a game like that is decent. There we go. A good endless search. I hope we all enjoyed it. What was it called again, Joe?
Games That Made Me Come.
Which, do you know what? To be fair, looking at that list isn't inaccurate.
No, that's exactly what... You're not going to choose games you hated.
You did say Ghost of Tsushima Legends was a miserable experience or something along those lines.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know...
Love will do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Should we do some feedback? I don't know how to segue from that to feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got Dale first.
Yeah, this is from Tyler Wood. And he says, hey dudes.
Oh, there was a good segue there and we missed it completely.
Oh, sure, yeah. Tyler Wood. Hey dudes. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about stuff that you loved in un-games that wasn't particularly integral to the experience. And one sprung straight to mind for me. Now, I've never been for the oral stimulation of ASMR. Don't get me wrong. I'm up for the experimenting with all sorts of different orifices. But the audio sex has never been the thing for me. That was, though, until I played The Last of Us Part 2. The sound of upgrading...
Those clickers.
This is a very grotty podcast, isn't it? The sound of upgrading a weapon in that game took me somewhere else. I never expected to be pushed to the euphoria by a clickety-clack of a killing tool, but I was upgrading the sight on my long-range rifle, a C-tier weapon, if I ever found one, just to hear what metallic dings would create. All the best. Hold the ocean in high fucking regard. he's right about those noises.
The crafting sounds are great.
Yeah, they are really good noises.
I do want to point out that we're going to get some really angry ASMR fans. I know it's not just about being aroused. Okay, that's Tyler's.
It can be very relaxing.
That's Tyler's idea.
I don't actually indulge myself, but I can kind of see the appeal of a little bit of ASMR. There's some weird ones out there. Don't get me wrong, but there's some lovely ones. There we go.
All right,
those crafting sounds are great.
Oh, they're so good. They're so chunky and noisy. They're great.
Yeah.
I've got the returning Cole Cohen, the man of the Nigella egg liquid drink. And if you don't remember, I believe it was last week, his friend Charles wrote in, who said he was a doctor, and said he lived with Cole's mum and talked more about the Nigella egg drink.
What is this story?
It's very weird.
This is from Cole. Hello again, podcast. At the risk of turning your feedback section into a weird proxy conversation between me and Charles, you asked for some more info about Cambo, so here I am. I can't remember what Cambo even was.
No, we'll find out.
Yeah, first though, the provenance of Dr. Charles Williams. He is a real doctor, but not the medical kind. Well, not that kind of medical kind. We're friends from school, and he did live with my mum for a year.
What does that mean? What does it mean?
Don't, because Charles will write in and tell us.
Oh, no.
We're friends from school, and he did live with my mum for a year. Not, I might add, as the same time as me. at the same time as me. We had both already moved away from our city, but Charles came back for a year to work. He lived with my mum because his own family live on the far outskirts and the commute was quicker. I like to tell people that while living there, Charles used to dry himself after a shower by making sure my mum was out and then lying down naked and wet on the heated floor of the kitchen. But I don't think that ever actually happened. One can dream.
He likes to tell people that.
Yeah. In an unrelated incident, my ex also lived with my mum, not simultaneously to me, after we had broken up.
What's
thankfully
going on
that
here?
Situation didn't last long. Cole, your mum sounds like a very accommodating woman, literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. So a halfway house for people, like anyone.
His
like
mates.
Anyone.
Yeah. So the cambo. Joe was right. I often am. It is a go-to-the-jungle type of thing. But if you ask around, you might find that someone who can bring the jungle to you.
What?
I have no idea how a shamanic drug derived from the poison of a South American tree frog ends up... Oh, yeah. Wasn't this like... He's it's a tree frog venom that you put on your face.
Like remedies, yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea how a shamanic drug derived from the poison of a South American tree frog ends up in the UK, but apparently it does, and you could administer it by burning a patch of your skin and applying the poison to the burn. I'm told it doesn't cause very much in the way of hallucinations, but it does cause plenty of vomiting and introspection. So I think it sounds like a thoroughly miserable experience, and I'm not really interested. It is very on brand for my mum, though. Hope that clears things up somewhat, but I doubt it has. Respect the sea, Cole. P.S. Still can't find that fucking lemon egg drink recipe. My mum remembers it as well, but can't remember where it came from.
This what's going on?
Can Cole's mum write in next?
Yeah.
Clear some things up.
In a year of absolutely bizarre tangents this podcast has taken, I think the saga of Cole, the lemon egg drink, his mate Charles, his mum, tree frog venom, and living in people's houses when it seems weird is one of the most odd. Like, Jesus.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know where it can go next. I don't know what to say. Good.
Yeah. Well done, Cole. Also, yeah, Cole, your mum sounds nice.
Yeah, very accommodating. Even with the frog venom, you know. I have an email here from Jordan Saro, who says, "Hi all, first time ever writing into anything."
Whoa!
Never written a letter.
Whoa!
Here we go. Do people write letters anymore?
Nah.
I don't know. But I won't say I'm a huge fan of the show and team, and it's been a constant supply of joy to me through lockdown.
I thought you said I won't say that.
No, I will not say that.
Say. That I'm a huge fan of the show.
I think it, but I'm not going to tell you. Thank you very much. It's great to hear about games, films, and TV from people who have similar opinions to myself, although saying that, I did love the Snyder Cut. You're very welcome to. Very welcome to. Unfortunately, I had a fairly standard upbringing, so don't have any strange food stories, and have respected the sea at all times, so don't have any funny, almost drowning stories. So I had to settle on something game-related. You just sound very sensible, and it's not, you know, not everyone can have a frog venom mother.
Yeah.
There you go.
Get some cambo on you, mate.
Exactly. I heard a lot of hype and great reviews about Persona 5 Royal when it came out, as you should have, because it is brilliant. But I didn't think it was my cup of tea. When the PS Plus collection was released, I tried Persona 5, but after the opening cinematic, I decided it wasn't for me, even though I knew at the time I wasn't giving it a chance. Last month, I was at a loss of new games to play, so decided to try it one last time, and my opinion completely changed in the very short time since I last tried it. I fell in love with everything about the game to such an extent that in the past month I finished the game, I'm currently playing Persona 5 Strikers, bought a second-hand Vita so I can play Persona 4 Golden, which I'm also loving, and then have plans to try Persona 3 or Persona 5 Royal, as I love the worlds they create and the story, which I find genuinely compelling. Mm. My question to follow this is, have you ever had instances of hearing great things and a lot of hype about a game, TV show, or movie and not liked it, but then loved it following a second attempt? Thanks Jordan from Peterborough.
Mad Men.
Did you bounce off Mad Men?
I bounced off Mad Men twice.
Ooh. Really?
I thought it was soap opera-esque.
Really? I'm currently rewatching it again. I started it a week and a half ago. I'm halfway through season 4. I just can't stop. It's just like comfort TV for me. It's just so easy to watch. But yeah, nice. I love Mad Men.
It's bloody good stuff.
I'm glad to hear you're enjoying Persona a lot, though, Jordan, because, yes, they are brilliant. And I can't say I ever bounced off, but, yeah, it shouldn't be something I necessarily love, because I don't have a long history of JRPGs or anything sort of, like, anime like style. So it is weird that I love it so much in my own head, but I do. One that always springs to me, this is the first time I watched The Big Short, I really didn't like it. Something about it just rubbed me the wrong way. And then I've watched it about four times since, and now it's like one of my favourite films.
I love it. Yeah.
I don't know what, I just must have been in a bad mood when I first watched it, because I thought it was like trying too hard. I didn't like the celebrity bits. Like, I just, there's something about it that rubbed me the wrong way. But yeah, now I just think it's brilliant.
I can't really think of it. I bounce off a lot of stuff, but I tend not to go back. I did when I was younger, I suppose. Like, I remember first time I played Final Fantasy VII demo, I thinking it was just like, I couldn't get my head around what it was and understand it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I only went back because I would read about it in magazines and it would be in praise, giving 10 out of 10s and stuff. And then I forced myself to like it almost in the end. And I'm glad
it's
I did.
It's all right to not. Yeah, it's all right to not like things.
Yeah.
And it's all right. Like, some people, I think, get quite stubborn, don't like admitting they've changed their mind. Like, some people, if you've said, like, oh, I don't like it, and then a week later, like, you end up liking it, you must be embarrassed to admit you now like it. It's like the same things. Like, you can fall off things. Like, you can think science starts amazingly and then gets bad and then be fully, you know, 100%, correct in that opinion and able to share it. But there you go. Do you have any? Oh, you have Mad Men.
Mad Men's my big one. That's, like, games, I think, is a very different thing. I'm with Dale on that. They're often such an, you know, like an imposition on your time, as we've discovered today. Yeah. That I just, if something goes for me, it very rarely is something that I will return to, unless people are like super into it.
I think a wider one for me is probably like the battle royale genre. When Fortnite came out, when Call of Duty Blackout came out, I really didn't like them. They just weren't my, I found them too tense, like not fun at all. But then Apex came out, Warzone came out, and now like I play those games all, like I love battle royales now.
It's just reminded me of another one actually, which was The Division. When that came out, I remember being in the office vocally saying like, this is not very good, not interested in it. And then weeks later, I'm the only one still playing it and putting 80 hours into it, and everyone else has stopped playing it. I ended up loving it. So I feel like ever since Final Fantasy 13, my patience is not the same, because I gave that game the benefit of that because everybody said, oh, at this point it gets really good. And I got to that point and I never thought it got good. And since then it's kind of now, I'll give it 5 hours with a game, with a movie, it can be like an hour. And if I don't like it, that's it. Like,
I think that's fair. Yeah. Do write in to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com if you have anything you bounced off, came back, and now it's one of your favourite things ever. Could be this podcast. You might have tried it a year or two ago and gone, this is awful. You've come back, you've heard Poison Tree Dart Frogs, you've heard orgasmic game names, you've heard all sorts, really. Resident Evil, you've heard actual game talk as well. And now you rightfully think it's the best thing ever. That's okay to admit. Do it. It's IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Thank you very much. What music do we want? Is there any Resident Evil Village music? Isn't really a thing at the moment.
Could play some Sting.
Sting. Why? Because of the tantric sex earlier.
Yeah, tantric gaming.
What do we want?
Let's just go out really chill. Fields of Gold.
Let's do it again. There we go. Enjoy. Bye.
Upon the fields of barley, you'll forget the sun in his jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.